And I also wanted to point out that Dave, raise your hand. He is going to be at a ribbon cutting on Monday, is it? Yeah, tomorrow at 2:30. You know, he was on Mike Rowe's program about working, helping kids learn trade. And so they're going to have a ribbon cutting for the new area that Mike Rowe and his group paid for. And so that's a real feather in our cap, isn't it? To have somebody, yeah. And I know that Dave hates every second of talking, so forgive me, Dave. But I appreciate that you are doing what you're doing, because he works full-time at the VCon for free, just in his retirement, and they count on him a lot. So. Well, we're in a new series called Living Wisely, and I want to talk about you who struggle with anger. Now, does anybody not struggle with anger? Okay, so you could see why it might be a pretty interesting talk this morning. But, you know, a lot of times it's hard to control or be in control of our anger, and especially if you have no idea. You know, I was greeting, all of a sudden I thought, oh, I don't have my my mic. So I went back. Well, my wife went in this week, painted my room. We put new furniture in. And so it's like, where is my mic? And I start getting exasperated. Well, that's a good form of anger, isn't it? and it's more of a positive anger. But I want to start today with the Proverbs. And what I've done is combined them. A few different proverbs so we can kind of get a good idea what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to read the underline, and you read the non-underline. An angry man stirs up strife. Furious man abounds in transgressions. You know what transgressions are? Yeah, wrongs, sin. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and the wringing of the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person keeps himself under control. Boy, is that confusing or what? I'm just kidding. It's pretty strong language, isn't it? An angry man stirs up strife. Conflict, fighting, arguing, seething. And when have we ever won an argument if it's in anger? When have you ever won one? You know, I look at that and I think, you know, everyone has anger, and it's a universal emotion and a response for us given by God. And we may change the name of anger to protect the guilty, us, okay, or minimize the force of it so it sounds better in our hearts, but we might call it frustration or irritation, or we're annoyed or exasperated, or we might express our anger in caustic talk or humor. You know, the people who have humor that always has a bite to it. Yeah. Or making harsh judgments or statements. Or we're simply mad. Or it's just displeasure. Or we're upset. But the real question is not, do we have anger? Because we do. Do we all agree with that? Okay. If not, you're missing some emotions in your life. Okay. The question really is, how can we deal with our anger in a way that honors God? And we have to admit that anger is probably the worst handled emotion of all of our emotions. You know, I look at it, and usually it's what I would call a cover emotion. Anger is an emotion that we have that really, really points to something different, but we all sum it up into anger. And so we go to the emotion replacing the unidentified emotions like maybe hurt, rejection, insecurity. And yet, hear me on this, God gave us the emotion of anger for a purpose a righteous purpose. And don't assume that it was a mistake on his part where he thought to himself, oops, I didn't get that emotion right, but I guess you're just going to have to live with it. No, you're not going to even laugh. Huh? I see it's we're going to be one of those Sundays, huh? Okay, all right. So first, let's understand how our anger helps and then discover the real purpose of anger. Think about this. Without anger, we wouldn't resolve any issues, would we? We wouldn't confront wrongs. We probably wouldn't meet schedules. We wouldn't see the need to exercise control. We wouldn't see the need for safety. We wouldn't stand up for what's right or recognize the injustices in life, or fear would be totally out of control because we wouldn't do anything about it. In fact, when you stop to think about it, we couldn't even evaluate ourselves. Those are just some of the needful reasons for anger. But think about this. Did Jesus get angry? Yeah. We all know that one, don't we? We may not know a lot of Bible story, but we know that one where he goes in and turns over the tables because these people are cheating in his temple. And we see our Heavenly Father, Exodus 32, he says, "Stand aside to Moses. I'm going to destroy the children of Israel." He was mad. He was angry. So anger is an emotion and it is not a sin. Do you hear me this morning? Anger is not a sin, but it has potential to rapidly turn to sin when it's used unwisely. Here's how King David put it in Psalms 4:4. "Be angry and do not sin." Now, does it say don't be angry and do not sin? No, be angry and do not sin. Meditate, think about it within your heart, on your bed, and be still. So David's advice is if you get mad, go lay down on the bed and think about what the real issues are in your life. Here's how Paul quotes David and continues, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So he says, wait a minute. Don't even go to bed and let it go overnight. Fix that, whatever it may be. "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath," or your anger, "nor give place to the devil," because the next thing we do is if we start ruminating on it or thinking about it, pretty soon it turns into sin, and it will. And boy, is that the emotion the devil loves. That's what Paul tells us. Paul says, don't hold on to it through the night. David says, lay on your bed and examine your heart. And to understand why you're angry and calm down in the process. Now, some people have a hard time with anger that it just goes red. Other people, it's a little bit easier for them. They look better. But we all have that. And, you know, in our Christian world, we have the basic interpreted anger as sin. When I first came to Colorado and I went to church, the preacher said from the pulpit, sin is anger, or anger is sin. Is it? No, that was a direct contradiction to the Bible. And I think it's because we so quickly allow it to run to sin. And we don't understand the benefits of anger, what anger offers. In fact, our stereotype is a big male bully, right? Big male bully seething inside, keeping his wife and children at bay, scaring them into anything that would disrupt what they feel like is the right thing. And the reason we have this stereotype is because in a more majority of cases, we have foolish men who try to control through anger. And it doesn't work. It may work for the moment, but it won't work in the long term, will it? We all know, because if we're products of that, we've had to work through those issues. Yeah. You know, example, I have on many occasions where a man calls me and asks for counsel. I'm using man right now, but it applies to all of it, right? You understand it. And they'll say, I need some counseling because my wife has left me. And so they will sit down on the couch and say, I don't know why she left me, but would you make a phone call to her and get her straightened out? Right? And I can see the way he's saying it. I can see the anger coming, and I'm thinking, ooh, no wonder, you know? And what they think then is all they have to do is flip a switch and it'll heal 20 years of damage in one phone call. Now, what's wrong with that picture? You know, I was raised in a family like that, and when my father came home, all the joy and the fun evaporated. And we'd search his face to see what the rest of the evening would look like. And he thought everything was great. He could yell at us and be angry and all that kind of thing, but everything was great because it was the way he wanted it. And no one dared complain. You ever been in that situation? Were you raised in that situation, maybe? And it was his way, or it was the highway. And I finally took the highway. Until my mom, at 52, hit the wall and couldn't take his anger personality anymore, and life was hard from that point until his death. You know, but it isn't just fathers, is it? What I'm describing, maybe it's a mother, is people in all kinds of categories, families, siblings, coworkers, relatives, friends, neighbors, people we don't even know, drivers, politics, blogs, Facebook. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, some of the times when I look at the rants on Facebook, I am so embarrassed for the people. In fact, I took it off my phone for months now, and I just brought it back the other day because I need to follow something. I think I'm going to take it back off as soon as I get done following. Politics. Do you realize that politics is an act of anger for the most part? People are always angry that the other side is screwing up the government and them. Blogs where people rant. And we see anger used for purposeful manipulation to control others. Bosses raging, the productivity isn't enough. Anger because things aren't done right and unspoken expectations were met. And maybe we could put it this way. Angry because the world isn't perfect. And we want it to be perfect, right? Don't you want it to be perfect? Too bad. Right? It is going to be in this life. Listen, the emotion of anger is not a sin, but it's how we have learned to express it. Now, you may right off the bat maybe not disagree, but I think I can show you from the scriptures that's exactly what it is. We learn to express it, and it determines how we will be wise or not wise in using anger. And so let's talk about uncontrolled anger and what it does. Let's start with Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife, contention, arguments, and a furious man abounds in transgression, abounds in sin. Another translation said it this way, an angry person stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. You know, the Hebrew word translated angry here literally pictures a man with flaring nostrils. He is describing a person's identity, an angry man, an angry woman who is known and categorized as being angry. You know those people, don't you? Where you say, boy, that person, I don't like being around him. He's an angry man. How would you like to have that testimony that you are an angry person and that's who you are? And yet we do that. We define like that. His or her behavior, is defined who they are. And all I can say is, ouch. What a bad definition of our personality. It's like hanging a sign on someone's head, I'm Mr. or Mrs. Anger. Do you know someone like that? And maybe unknown to you, you might be that person. Because who would tell you that without paying a price? And if nobody ever contradicts or helps straighten you out, you've got a problem. Right? No one wants to be around that kind of person. You know, from my own testimony, I was a pretty angry guy by the time I left home. I had learned anger, and I was ready to go, and I could blame my father because he was one angry man, but I made the choice to follow in his anger behavior pattern. And it all culminated when I married Debbie, sweet Debbie. I had bought this 65 GTO. Didn't that look good, boys? Yeah, nice car, four on the floor, 389 cubic inch for the motorheads in here, okay? Beautiful car inside and out, but I could not get that thing to start on the starter. If I did it on compression, it would work just fine. And I remember one particular time, Debbie and I went to a movie, and it was, in those days, it was two flicks for 50 cents. And there's only one place I could park because it was a hill, just a small hill, and if somebody was parked there, I had to go all the way back home. And so this one day I went there, and sure enough, somebody had backed into that spot, and so I had to drive and go all the way home. And so I crawled underneath that car, and I worked on it, and I worked on it, and finally, I just got to the place. I started cussing it and throwing wrenches at it and that kind of thing. I'd only been a Christian maybe a year, year and a half, and Debbie was afraid of my anger. And I thought, sweet me. You ever feel that way? Sweet me. And she didn't see that behavior in her family. And so she was scared. She said, and she confronted me. She said, Steve, I'm scared of you. If you throw a wrench at your GTO, would you throw a wrench at me? And I'm thinking, and then she said, you're violent. And I'm thinking, violent? Violent? That would take a lot of guts on her side to tell me. Don't you think? I mean, we were freshly married. I don't think we were married 3 or 4 weeks. But up to that time, I never thought about it. Just, you know, if you're angry, you show it. So long story short, if I wanted a good marriage, I had to change my behavior. And boy, did I change it fast. I needed to get it under control, and I channeled it into a more positive direction. I started studying the scripture on anger and what God says anger is good for versus what it's bad for. And here's what I discovered in myself. When we don't learn or aren't shown wise ways of dealing with the emotion of anger, it bubbles up in ways that others don't like, right? It's like a boiling pot with a lid. And you ever seen a boiling pot with a lid and all of a sudden the lid slides and steam comes out? That's what anger's like when you don't have it under control. And suddenly we find ourselves doing things and saying things that really make us ashamed. Make us ashamed. Psalms 37 says this. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Now I add a little extra up there so you can see that. Stop the bad behavior. Stop building a case. That's what it means. Stop going over and over the hurt. How many people do you know that goes over and over and over the hurt until they come out angry? It says it only causes what? Harm. It never causes good. Why do we think it might cause good? So King David suggests it's a choice we make. So I learned to channel that anger for reasons God gave it. I mean, I thought, you know, I wonder what the world thinks about all this. So I got on Google and I found on Yahu answers, and I was pleasantly surprised the way they explained anger. He says, anger is a natural emotion that each of us experiences. Is that true? Yeah. When used correctly, it can motivate us into action to complete a task or right an injustice. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Anger is a tool. It must be understood and used effectively for the purpose it was designed. Some have painted this picture that anger is all bad. That is a fallacy. Anger is neutral. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. It is the individual who decides if anger will be put to constructive or destructive use. Man, I love that statement. Constructive or destructive use. When the world knows the purpose, then we need to really listen, because they're only quoting what God says. And we might put it this way. The purpose of anger is to motivate us to loving action, to complete a task or right an injustice, or to confront a wrong behavior. It is the individual who decides if anger will be constructive or destructive. So let me paint the picture a little different. As I stated earlier, anger is a cover, an umbrella, or a default emotion that covers up real emotion. So what happens is, when we get hurt, what happens? We get mad. Or when we're rejected. Anybody love rejection? Okay, I just wanted to check. What happens when somebody rejects us? We get mad. Or we're insecure in a situation, and we get mad. That's a default emotion that is the wrong emotion. What if we really realized when we got hurt, we're hurt? What would that do? Would you be mad? No, you might be sad. It may hurt, but I don't think you would yell out and become angry. So if someone hurts you with their words, instead of defining the real emotion, it's too easy for us to go to this umbrella emotion, anger. You quickly move to anger, and then you lash out, because anger has a push to it. Hurt doesn't. Hurt stays. But if you consider the real emotion, it's much easier to stop that destructive behavior in its tracks. So let's take an example. Let's say that somebody says, I'm a bad person. It's happened, right? Hasn't happened to all of you at some point? I'm a bad person. So first, what might my first response be? I immediately have the choice to get mad or introspect and think about what they said. Maybe they don't know me too well. Maybe I've hurt them and they're retaliating. Maybe they have a point in some area I need to listen to. But I have the choice to react. Number two, my second response is to identify my real emotion. What might it be? Well, hurt, misunderstanding. Maybe I feel hopeless in this situation on my part. Not enough clarification. Or guilt for the threads of truth in it. But with the correct use of anger, I can choose to forgive, approach for more clarification, maybe even help them clarify, and then make the changes that I need to make, right? It's not that tough. We make it tough, but it's not that tough. Number three, what is the purpose of my anger? To motivate me to take action, to complete a task, or right an injustice, or to approach a person like Debbie did with me. She made the right approach. She lovingly told me I was violent. So here's one thing I want to insert in here. If anybody in here thinks you can't control your anger and you can't put it into a better place, you got to talk through me. I was there and was able to do it. Do you hear me this morning? Don't play games in your head. You can control it. That's what the scripture says. Listen to this. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. We have the choice. Before our mouth opens, to keep it in control. That little voice in your head that says, just as you start to yell or whatever it is that you act out, there's a little voice that comes up and says, don't do this thing. Right? Have you ever had that voice in your head? Don't do this. If you do this, it's going to mess things up. That brings me to number four, the last proverb, but most important point in speaking up. A gentle, a calm, a soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up. Oh, you didn't get that one? Oh, I don't have it up there yet. Okay. Oh, well, I missed it. What can I say? A gentle, calm, soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Man, a soft answer is not sarcasm, is it? It's not contempt. It's not hatred. It's not exaggerations. A gentle answer is a sincere word. A caring word, a loving word. So that brings me to number five. Love is the key. Do we really love other people, or are we just mouthing that because we're Christians? Do we really love them? If we're loving them, why would we get angry at them? We may have to confront, we may have to do these things we've talked about, but to get angry and yell or whatever that may be, listen to this verse. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Who's a neighbor? All of us, right? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, what's interesting is the Israelites spent all this time trying to meet the Moses law, and Paul tells us that love meets it. All we have to do is love. That's what the whole law is for, is to love the other person. So let me ask you a couple questions in closing. Are you known for your anger? Do you have a suspicion that you might be known for your anger? Can you change that starting today as we leave this service? Listen, be a spiritual hero and begin to make the choice to control it. Let's pray.